Ephesians chapter 3. In my Bible, there's basically the whole chapter of Ephesians 3 is talking about the mystery revealed, the mystery explained. And today we're going to take just a short look at what this mystery is and what it really means to us. But before we do that, let's invite God's Spirit to help us learn what He has for us today. Father in heaven, we pray that You will send Your Holy Spirit to be with us. You have promised that when we study and we ask, the Holy Spirit will be sent to guide us into Your truth. We ask for that today is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. A little history lesson for God and His people. God made Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. He had these special people that He wanted to commune with and talk with, but sin entered the world, and He had to show them the exit door of the garden and put them outside. And sin entered the world, and yet they continued to do what God had intended, and that was to be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth. And people were born, and they wandered away from God's original plan for them. So God, in His love and His mercy, said, I'm going to have a special people. First of all, when sin happened, He promised that He would send a Savior, a Messiah, to take care of the sin problem. But to help people understand that, God made covenants with people along the way in the Old Testament to show the rest of the world what God was all about. You see, Lucifer had become Satan, and Satan told lies about God. He said, God is not fair, God is not loving, God is not just, God does not care about you. And people started believing that. You ever thought that? Something happens in your life. Why, if God loves me, why is He letting this happen to me? I was talking with a person not long ago who had lost a family member, and he was starting to question whether or not God really even existed. Because if there was this God out here, he says, Pastor, that you say is in control of everything, if there really was this God out there, then why did He allow this to happen to me? I really love that individual, and I'm terribly devastated, and so if there is a God out there, I don't want to have anything to do with Him if He allows things like this to happen. And I had to explain to him the whole great controversy that there is this God of love and this God that's good, who takes responsibility ultimately for everything that happens because He created everything. But there's also this other being out there that's very powerful named the devil, Satan. And he is trying to so distort the picture of God that we won't want to have anything to do with him. And yet, what he promises us and what we actually get are two different things. He says you can have anything you want, and yet what we end up is with nothing. We end up with death. And so God had these special people, and in the Old Testament, they came to be known as the children of Israel, the Jews, and He set them up as a special people to show the rest of the world what could happen if you learned to know God and followed Him, trusted Him, and loved Him. And that's what their job was to do. But unfortunately, the whole Old Testament is about stories where God's people who were given special instructions on how to live, they disregarded and ignored them. They saw the grass on the other side of the fence, and they said, it's greener over there. They started out by saying, you know, everybody else has a king that they can see. You know, we have this God up there we can't see. He speaks through the prophets. He speaks through the high priest. If we have questions, He's got the Urim and the Thummim, you know, and the questions could be answered that way. But we want to have a real king that we can see. Now, what was their experience with real kings? Everybody just had a wonderful life, right? No, these kings led them off after strange things. And what happened was is that they became just like the nations around them. They did not witness as they should to the other nations. There was a witness that took place. But unfortunately, the people of God took on the things of the world, the people around them. There was a change that took place, but unfortunately, it wasn't the people of God showing the people around them the change that they could have in their life. They became just like everybody else. And I think sometimes we run that risk in our church. We try to look so close to the world and still have a foot in God's kingdom, and we can't do that. God has set us up as a special people to show the world what a relationship with God and the truest sense of what he wants is all about. We're to be missionaries. We're to be witnesses to God's love in our life. I visited a pastor, a friend of mine. I was singing in the PUC quartet, and we traveled around the Pacific Union, which was California. I don't know why they never did let us fly to Hawaii. That was in the Pacific Union, too. But we got to go to California and Nevada, Utah. We never made it over to Arizona, but we would go around and recruit college students for Pacific Union College. And we ended up down in Southern California, went to one of my pastor friend's church, and I thought it was great. I walked in the back door and was greeted by this lovely lady who I knew was not a member there, just by the way, what I saw. And I thought, man, Pastor Pete really is involving people even before they become members. And then I stood there as I sang to the congregation for church, thinking, man, this man has so many non-Adventists in his congregation. This is great. Other people, and then I found out, I went to lunch at his house afterwards, and the greeter that greeted me was the head deacon's wife, and the people in the pews were members of his church. And I said, wow, they've kind of taken on the flavor of the world. You know, the Bible talks about when salt has lost its flavor. If we're just like everybody else, what do we have to offer them? God has given us, and that's what Ephesians chapter 3 is about. The mystery revealed is that God had a chosen people. But after he sent Jesus, the Messiah, and they rejected God himself, he said, I'm going to send out this message to the whole world. Everybody's going to be spiritually God's chosen people. Every race, every nation, every tribe and tongue, according to Revelation, was given the gospel and the ability to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for them. That's us, by the way. Unless you have Jewish heritage, you're what the Ephesians talks as the Gentiles. You were not born, as they say, into the kingdom of God. That's where God's special people kind of took a detour. And I think sometimes today we do too. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. My parents were Seventh-day Adventists. I'm born into the church. I'm home free. And yet God says he wants to have a personal relationship with us. He loved me enough to say, I'm going to come and die for your sins. He loved me enough to let his love shine on me through somebody else. Verse 1 of chapter 3. For this purpose, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. You see, he was the missionary to the world. Most of the other disciples, the other apostles, continued to preach the gospel to the chosen people of God, the Jews. And Paul was out there preaching to everybody else. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should become fellow heirs of the same body, the partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. What Paul is saying here is, here's the mystery. In the past, this was never offered, and yet I want to offer up to you today the story of Nicodemus. We find Nicodemus in the New Testament. He is a Pharisee. He is a teacher in the community, and he comes to Jesus by night, and he says, good master or good teacher, we know that you come from God because nobody can do these things which you do. Well, did Nicodemus speak the truth? Yes, but was that really what he needed? No. Jesus says, unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that just must have hit Nicodemus like a Mack truck coming down the freeway at 90 miles an hour. Just bam. He was a Jew. He was not needing to be born into the kingdom of God. He was in the kingdom of God. Kind of speaking to us Seventh-day Adventists today. We are the remnant of God and his people. And yet all of us must be born again because we were born in sin. Nicodemus throws up a smokescreen. How can a man, when he is old, be born again? I want to tell you briefly about Nicodemus and his job as a teacher, as a Pharisee. His job was to convince non-Jews that it was better to become a Jew and have all the things that God was offering to his people. And what they did was kind of like evangelism. They would come to meetings, they would be taught the things of God, and they would then accept all these teachings, and then they would be accepted into the family of God by being born again. In most instances, they were given a new name to show that they had accepted the God of Israel and that they had been born again. So Nicodemus, by saying, how can a man be born again when he was old? He was throwing up a smokescreen because that's what he did on a daily basis of talking to people about this Yahweh God, about the ways of life that God had shared with him, and invited these people to accept that way of life. And they became Jews by the new birth experience. The Apostle Paul goes out and preaches the gospel to the world, inviting people to become the special people of God by invitation of God himself. That's the whole mystery. You see, the Jewish people over the years and the centuries and the millennia that they had been God's chosen people had forgotten that they were to be the witnesses to the world to invite those people to be just like them. And that was having a special relationship with God. They weren't special just to have all the blessing that God gave. They were special to help show other people what it could be like to be living a godly life every day. And these people in the outer communities, the outer worlds, they were in darkness. They didn't know about that. It was all a mystery to them. And Paul says, I've come to you to share with you the mystery that we Gentiles can now be God's chosen people. The mystery has been revealed. Now what are you going to do about it? And today I want to invite you to realize that you are God's chosen people. Paul is very clear through his writings that says God has preordained or predestined all of us to salvation. Now, this salvation means that we are all accepted into his family. We are all given the gift of eternal life. Now, how many of you here have been given the gift of eternal life? What does the Bible say? All have been given it. But how many of us have received it? There's a difference, you know. People can offer a gift, but unless you take it, it really has not been received. Paul preached the gospel to many people. You know, he preached before kings and princes. He even had one of them say, "You've almost convinced me, Paul." That's a terrible phrase. Paul, you had a good argument. But I'm really happy where I'm at, and I really don't want to give up anything, and so I'm going to stay where I'm at. But you almost convinced me. That's a sad state to be in, and I hope none of you are in that state today, that you have truly been convinced that God loves you, that he would do anything for you to get you into his kingdom for eternity. He has done all that he can. He came and lived a life for us where we can take from that righteousness that he lived, and it can be applied to our account because we're unrighteous. He died the death that you and I deserve. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died that death, and then he gives to us the gift of life. But But we have to take it. And by taking that gift, by having this mystery revealed, it will be revealed in us that we are on God's side. And God's people, let me be careful how I say this, I don't want to offend anybody this morning, but God's people are different. If the gospel doesn't do anything to change my life, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. If I accept the gospel, the power of God in my life, and I'm just the same as I was yesterday, then why do it? You ever asked yourself that question? How has God made a difference in my life today? What am I showing my friends about my relationship with God? Am I just like I was before? The Bible tells me that God is going to transform me into His likeness. And that will be so totally different than the world around me that people will notice. And the purpose for them noticing is not to call me weird and strange, but to say, you know what, you've got something I want. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the peace that God gives us when we follow Him. We can have this peace and feel safe in a world even though it's falling apart. And people will look at us and say, how can you be so calm with everything that's going on? Well, because I know the God of the universe. What do I have to be nervous about? Corrie Ten Boom said it best. Never fear to trust an unknowing future to an all-knowing God. That's us today, God's chosen people. The mystery has been revealed that all the world is now accepted into His family because He has called each one of us. The invitation goes out, but the choice on our part has to be made. You see, God will not make that choice for us. He will not force us to love Him. I was talking to some kids this week that are going to be baptized today, and we were talking about taking care of our body. And one of the baptismal vows, maybe you have forgotten this, is to not put anything harmful into our bodies, including drugs. And so I just asked the kids, you know, out of the mouth of babes comes truth. I said, can you tell me today a drug that people take without even thinking about it today? And one of the little boys says, caffeine. I don't know where he got that. But I hope I'm not, I hope I'm stepping on some of your toes if you're involved with that. Caffeine is a drug. And another little boy, he's been paying attention. He said, yes, my daddy and I were watching a program where they did a study on caffeine and how it negatively affects your abilities to do things in a right manner. I thought, man, this guy's 11 years old and he's telling the right story. It may taste good. But you know, as we talk about, one of the kids was teaching on health in the youth room a couple nights ago and said in the sermon, if it was good for you, God wouldn't withhold it from you. Do you believe that? Uh-oh. Let me say that again. If it was good for you, would God keep it from you? Okay, many of you, I guess, don't either want to say the answer or don't know it. The answer to that is no. God has not withheld anything good for us from us. So let me ask that question again. If it were good for you, would God keep it from you? No, they're great. God has offered us eternal life, and that life is in His Son, Jesus, and each of us here today can have that life in Him. Is that your desire? To be more like Jesus every day. That's my choice. And I hope that's your choice today. Father in heaven, thank you. We know that the Old Testament is full of stories about your family. And that family history doesn't always show a trust in you. But today, Father, you have opened up to the world the opportunity to become your family, your sons and daughters. This mystery has been revealed, and may we accept it. But may we more than accept it, may we live it every day. that others may see Jesus in us and say, I want what you have. Show me how to know this God that you serve. Bless us today is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.